Lorraine W. I'm a compulsive overeater from outside of Pittsburgh, PA. And I'm going to start with the Serenity Prayer. Step prayer, I'm sorry. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them would bear witness to all those who help us, your power, of your love, and of your way of life. May I do your will always. Amen. My name is Lorraine W. I'm a compulsive overeater who's 62 years old. I have three adult 30-somethings. I've been divorced for over 30 years, so that's, you know, I've just been divorced for over 30 years. I came to my first OA meeting in summer of 1980 because I had gained quite a bit of weight during my first year in college, and I had been to enough way and pace, but my mother had brought me to the first OA meeting, and I'll start with what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to tell my story, or I say my testimony about what happened. I was born in 1961. Matter of fact, Lord willing, I'll turn 63 in June 13th. But for right now, I'm 62. I was told that my first word was the word taste. Not mom, not dad, but taste, because they said, my parents told me, I saw my dad eating this one dish that my mother could make very well. And he was smacking his lips, because my dad would always smack his lips when my mother cooked, because she was a good cook. And I kept saying, taste, taste, taste. I'm yelling for taste. And they said that was the first word, and my mother said to my dad, give her a taste of that. You know, so life was happy-go-lucky when I was a little girl, especially up until I had a sister at the age of 4, and then we moved. We moved to a good old-fashioned coal-burning house, and it burned coal in an old-fashioned furnace, and that's when I first learned of fear. I was afraid of that cellar because it had that coal furnace down there, and I was really afraid of the neighborhood we were in. We were centrally located in the neighborhood, but I had some friends whose brothers teased me. I didn't have any brothers, and I didn't like teasing. I didn't like being humiliated. I didn't like being made fun of. I really didn't like that. I mean, I'd get along with girls, but I didn't understand teasing. I had some cousins I didn't like either. But that's when fear and being humiliated started to, I really didn't like that. We had, life was going on pretty good. You know, my sister and I were growing up, you know. But during those years, my dad's drinking got bad to the point when I turned, dad, you get your drinking together or we're getting divorced, because it was bad. I'd seen some fights. I've watched utensils fly across the table. That wasn't always so nice, you know. They were young. They were in their 20s, and they were fighting like they were in their 20s too. But one particular day, I do recall seeing my mother with a black eye. I'll never forget that. And that kind of just said, this is getting bad. And then there were some other things that were happening in the house. But she told him the ultimatum, you need to get some help or I'm leaving. She says, I'm a nurse. I could take these girls and raise them myself, and I'm going to move. And I didn't want to move in with my maternal grandmother, and that brought fear, because I got to move to a whole new school district. I didn't want none of them changes. And then she was going to go to another religion. I didn't want to do that, because this religion didn't celebrate certain holidays. I was all upset about that, and I ate over it. I mean, I'd come home from school, and I'd get my dish of whatever out the freezer, and I'd eat it. And then we had a corner store that was literally up on the corner from our house. And all I could do was take little pennies that I had, and I'd go to the store, and whatever was bothering me, you know, candy would fix it. Whatever was in the store, whatever was in that store would fix it. One particular summer, My dad had to go away. We were told he had to go to the hospital, and he would be there a while. Well, actually, he was going for treatment, and they didn't have rehab then, but he had to go to the state hospital to be cleared of the drinking and some other things that was going on with him. And then when he came back, we were told that our dad was going to be doing some things differently. And one of the things that kept coming up is these guys were showing up at the house. They'd have coats on and hats on, and they were taking my dad to these meetings. And I thought, oh, real important, these meetings. But when my dad would come home, he'd always have books. And I said, these meetings must be something. They make you read and send you home with these books that have no pictures. And I said, this must be really important. It has no pictures in this book. It's one thick book with glue, and it was big. But it said Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, well, that's interesting. It also had, he would bring home these little comic books, too. I don't know what those, I know what those were about, but that was just about turning your life around. And things started changing in our house. My dad was home a lot. He wasn't going to the beer garden. He wasn't stopping at the beer garden every time we went home. We didn't hang around certain people anymore. And which was good. That was a good change. Because that happened in 1970 because I was changing. My disease started to really manifest. Prior to 1970, I went to a slumber party and ate all of this one family's breakfast Danishes. I ate them all. I didn't know I ate them all until my girlfriend said, my mom said you ate all the things that she had baked. I said, oh my, because I was sending her little sister up and down. She was like my drug runner for the food. But in 1970, that change with my dad marked other changes that were going on. I also became, body changes were happening. We went to a whole new school in our district where everybody went to school under one roof. So that means I had to face some of these boys and more boys and girls who weren't used to my body changing, because I was like the first one to get everything. Boobs, I was the first one to get this. And I just felt so inadequate. And I thought it was very ugly because of all these body changes. Anyhow. I also can remember how much I weighed from third to eighth grade. I can remember how much I weighed because they used to bring the scale out in front of the class. I hated that. So in elementary, third grade, I won 103, fourth grade, 128, fifth grade, 150. Now, at 150, I could fill out a suit. I did a little pink bathing suit. I could fill it out real well. I got a lot of male attention when I went swimming. But I couldn't fit the suit the next year. I weighed 163. I'm in sixth grade. 175 in seventh grade, and I hit 183 in eighth grade, and that's where I kind of stopped. We were going into high school, still under the same roof. We're still seeing a lot of older classmen, younger classmen, and I was very developed. And I wanted a boyfriend because I thought a boyfriend that looked like Joe Green would fix all of my problems. Well, there was nobody named Mean Joe Green going to my school. But there were a couple guys that were interested in me. One, I kind of liked him. We set up a time just to get together, and you know what you do. And it ended up, he had set it up for a gang rape. And I was raped by six guys, and it changed my opinion of men for a long time, long time. I didn't date in high school. I had thought about committing suicide after the rape happened. 2 days in, I was going to take a certain sleeping drug at the drugstore because you could buy it. You know, we're talking the 70s. You can go buy that stuff. And I was going to take it home and just do it. So somebody in my class stopped me from doing it. But I didn't think I was very pretty because I thought I got raped because I was ugly. I thought because I was ugly and I was fat. I already had been called names, a lot of names before I was raped. I was called all kind of names about my physique. But I thought I was very ugly. So I just wanted to hurry up, graduate and go off to college and get away from the area I was in. I was going to do the geographical cure. I get up to college in the middle of the state and found out boys are really different up there. Some of them were, and some of them were really kind, but, and some of them were really funny. So I basically, I partied hard in that I ate hard, I drank hard, I found liquor, I drank hard, and I loved to go dancing. Loved to go to football games. And I had put on the precious freshman 25. And I came home, and my mother just looked at me, and she's like, let's go. I got a program to go to, and it doesn't cost any money. Now, in high school, we had been to a couple weigh-in pays, but that didn't last long. But this one was free, my mother told me. It's free, and there were people who had lost over 100 pounds. So I said, let's go see what they got to say. I go with my mother. And they told us, don't put any money in the plate, just buy literature. And I listened, and there were people who had lost 100 pounds in there. And I thought it was some kind of gimmick. They had a gray sheet. I thought, I can't eat like this. They've got out everything on here. And I went along to appease my mother, but then I went back to school, and I didn't pay attention to OA anymore. I graduated in 83. Came home depressed. Really didn't work to the what my degree had offered me. I didn't work in the field. And I was really miserable. I went to another weigh-in pay. I did lose some weight, but then the weigh-in pay changed their way of presenting food, and I started eating. And that was when I was 24. At the end of my 24th year, I said, God, I hit my knees on Christmas or New Year's Eve at a church that I attended, and I said, God, now I know how to lose. I can lose weight. I can follow a diet to a point, but I can't stay on one. I'm just asking you to show me what to do and give me the power to do it. Show me what to do. And that very next day, New Year's Eve, I was talking with my mom, and she all of a sudden, she said, Lorraine, why don't we go back to OA? And I said, I don't want to go back to OA. That didn't work, Mom. I remember saying that. Walked down the hall to my bedroom, and all of a sudden, it's like the voice of God, which I believe was the voice God said, if I did it for thousands of alcoholics in AA, and you know I have, because you went to meetings with your dad and see men who had stayed sober, I could do it for you in this program. And I remember sitting there in my room, which was colored a bright orange, and I turned around and I went to my mother. I said, okay, Mom, I'll go back to OA with you. And we did at the next meeting. And I did what they told me. I got a sponsor who had what I wanted. I wanted to be skinny, so I got a skinny sponsor. Well, the skinny sponsor had a relapse, and she left. And for about 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months, I went without a sponsor. And that's not the way you work program, but there was a lady there. I really admired her program. She had lost 100 pounds. She wasn't ultra thin, but she wasn't my age either. She was an older lady. But she looked well, and she talked balanced. So I asked her. I was scared to ask her at first, but I asked her, and she didn't reject me at all. She grabbed me up, and she said, oh, sure, I'll sponsor you. She hugged me so tight, and it was just like somebody's fairy godmother grabbing me up. And she helped me work my program. I did the first, second, and third step with her, and then the fourth step and the fifth step, and the sixth step, and the seventh step. And then we got to the eighth step of making amends, made a list. And I made a list, and there's one person on there. He was on there. And she knew why he was on there, because I had slugged this kid in high school, because I thought he had sexually touched me, but he didn't. I didn't know, because I didn't see him touch you. There was a gang of kids, and I felt somebody grab me. And I thought it was him. I thought it was this other guy, too. But I didn't want to hit this other guy because I knew he would hit me back. So I hit this guy instead. I fucked him. Knocked his glasses off. And everybody's laughing and screaming and hollering and everything. And I was just mad. My sponsor told me, you're going to have to apologize to that guy because you don't know. I said, well, she says, you didn't know if he touched you or the other one touched you. Do you know? And I said, no, I don't. She says, you've got to make amends to him. So I said, well, he's in the service. She says, I don't care if he's in the service. Go find his parents. And you get the APO address and write him a letter. Well, I didn't listen to my sponsor. I didn't write a letter. I didn't make amends. Matter of fact, I was so thin, I thought I was like Miss OA, and I'm going speaking in different places, and I'm kind of like not working these tools. I was getting sloppy, and the tools were starting to get rusty. And
I'm telling my girl, you have 5 minutes.
Okay. I find a couple men I was interested in, and one ended up being the father of our daughter. And then I fell back in love with this other guy. I thought he was going to be my husband, and that didn't work out. And my ex-husband, he would soon become my ex-husband. He called me, and I said, well, I'll go back with you. And I kept finding things. We both had baggage. We both had a lot of baggage. And really, it was, anyhow, that marriage was something. Takes two to tango. I'll just put it that way. It got to the point it was so bad that I didn't want to be with him no more. But I didn't have to. I left once. And did I leave once? No, I remember leaving once, and I went back. And then he told me in order to survive, he couldn't live with me. And I was feeling bad, I was feeling terrible, but I had OA literature from, you know, when I did go to meetings. And I remember reading the OA Brown book, and I said, thank God I have this, because I remember saying to myself, a bad day in OA is better than what I'm experiencing now. Even though I had a new house, I had a lot of kids, we had a lot of kids living with us, but I'd rather be in OA. So when my husband said what he said, I up and left. I took our 3 kids and left because he had other kids he brought to live with us too, but that's another story. But I left with our 3 kids, and I had to get safe because at that point I don't think it wasn't going to be too safe for me to live there. Had a terrible custody battle. It was not nice. But I went to the meetings. As soon as I left my ex and got safe, I went to meetings the next day. And I kept going to meetings, a more structured meeting. And I did what they told me to do. And I had a sponsor. And I was quiet at those meetings. I went to OA How. I went to OA. I just went to 12-step meetings. AA, I went to 12-step meetings. If there wasn't one that night, I found another 12-step meeting to go to just to listen to the sanity. And you know what happened? The weight I had gained during my marriage, it released. I went from 250 to 150 when I was, you know, in 1983, I had gained all that weight back and some. So by the time I left my ex in 1996, I was 300 pounds. But I went to 203, and I was in awe of what my higher power did for me. And I also did a lot of service. Served at the group level, intergroup level. I did some regional stuff. I was grateful to do that, and I got to go to a lot of places. I got to go to New York City. Oh, I love that. Going to the World Service Conference. And then I got the goofy idea, maybe I ought to give my ex a second chance. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Because it blew up in my face, because life happens. Blew up in my face, and I got angry at God. I got angry at myself, God. I was angry. And what do? I pick up that food again. And I'm not going to meet this because I'm mad. I'm mad at God. I'm like, you, for all I've done, Lord, why would you let this happen to me? So I regained all that weight. My anger blew my weight up to 400 pounds in 2011. And then I found OA again, where I could hear a lot of recovery, and that was through the OA phone meetings. And in the OA phone meetings, I heard recovery and got a sponsor, and that sponsor sponsored me, and the weight came off again. But not only that, it was restored me to sanity. I really believed I am a compulsive overeater. I have an addiction. I have that. I was just like my dad, you know. The solution for me was more food. But I was going to find a better way through OA. And But I fell off again. Life happened, and I fell off again. And my solution again was food. And I kept eating and eating and eating because it was getting to the point of real insanity. Life was becoming totally unmanageable. So I'm getting health issues. I can't walk without a cane. It got to the point where I couldn't walk, period, without a walker. I couldn't walk anywhere unless there was a scooter available. It was all the
time.
I knew the fuck point. Oh, okay. I'll finish up. But then I fell. I'm going to do this real quick. I fell it last year because my weight had gotten so bad I couldn't walk in the house. It took 15 firefighters to get me out of the house. And I said, God, what do we do? God said, OA. He said that right there when I was in the emergency room. I was 577 pounds. I had no other option. The only option was OA or continue to die. Because that's what I was doing. I was dying. And this program, again, showed me a better way. It's like the Wizard of Oz. I went from black and white to full and living color. And because of that, now I'm not at goal weight, but I'm not where I was. I'm not at 577. I'm at 3. I don't know what I'm at now because I was 371 when I entered the hospital. And they just excised a big lymphedema lobe off my leg. So I'll get a true weight when it's time. But I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful to be here. And I tell anybody, keep coming back until the miracle happens. Thank you for allowing me to share. My name is Lorraine W. I'm from outside of Pittsburgh. I'm still in the hospital. Lord willing, I'll be discharged tomorrow. But my number is 724-822-6175. I'm thinking about my dad because he said, whenever you can speak and give hope, do that. Because my dad was 50 years in AA, and he kept giving service until the day he died. I thank you for this opportunity. And my topic for tonight is gratitude. What are you grateful for? Oh, I'm going to leave my number, 724-822-6175. That's Eastern time. And you can call or text. Just let me know you're from OA.